I tell you, to honor our mothers, but just honor women in church means so much, because often that's not the case that's went on. Women have done most of the work in the Christian life that's been there, if you'll see them even following Jesus, and many times without much fanfare. And so in this case here, it's such a joy to lift up those that God has given us and blessed us all with. And those of you women going, what's the big deal? I know, but praise God for that and that. So at this time here, what we're going to do is continue on today with a sermon that we will do on Mother's Day. And we're continuing with our teaching team method here for this last time before we break into our new series. I want to remind you, next week, by the way, Bert Wagner is going to be here for Pentecost Sunday, who used to be, was the former leader of the Vineyard movement. He'll be here with us for Pentecost Sunday. And so I encourage you to come and to be a part of that there. And, you know, it's just, he's coming back. I said to my, yesterday, my kids were acting up, and I think I said something about, well, you just wait till Jesus comes back. And, you know, you got to threaten them with something, because I'd lost all power at this point. It was house cleaning, and my daughter, Livy, says, Daddy, Jesus has done come. And I said, well, honey, he's coming back again. And then my three-year-old Walter said, oh, no, not Jesus again. But so I don't know what's going on in the back there, but I just said, I know up here we're having a good time. So it's so I'd like to introduce this wonderful morning, if I can, for Angela Burke to come on up here. Remember from last week.
I don't know how to follow up Walter's comment, but yep, that. We're continuing the series, What's Going On? This lovely slide was made by Joel Looney. He's not here. You can beat him up later, except that's actually not at all what we're doing. There we go. Oh, look, it changed. Okay, much better now. Happy Mother's Day. Gonna have to say another bad word. Are we on the correct slide? Okay. Happy Mother's Day, ladies. All right. Today is one of the most important days of the year because we get to celebrate our moms, right? I was lucky enough to have a pretty good mom. Unfortunately, she's actually not here this morning, so I'm not getting any bonus points for this. But she was pretty good at being a mom, right? She provided for me. She kept me safe. She cared for me. She was there when I needed her. She was pretty good. Now, like any mom and daughter, I'm sure some of you know, there's bumps in the road. There's disagreements. There's huge fights. especially when you're a teenager. But at the end of the day, I had a mom that I always knew. She was on my side. She was my biggest fan. She was there for me, right? Unfortunately, not everybody has that. Not everybody has that kind of relationship where you know your mom's there for you at the end of the day, right? Some of us have moms that are a little less than perfect. Many people have what we would call mother wounds. Their mothers failed them in some way, right? And those hurts run really deep. On the other hand, a lot of our moms hurt too, right? There's this feeling of guilt of, I didn't do enough, I wasn't there enough, I worked too much, I didn't work enough, I didn't teach them this, right? A lot of our moms carry around this feeling of shame or guilt or I just wasn't enough, okay? But praise God, our stories don't end there. Not for the moms, not for us kids, not for any of us. In Hebrew, the word we translate as spirit is ruach. I like that word, ruach. What is interesting about this Hebrew word is that grammatically it's feminine, okay? Not masculine, it's feminine. The spirit in the Bible is associated with many female functions such as birthing, nurturing, grieving, and sheltering. The Holy Spirit relates to us in many of the same ways as a loving mother. In the New Testament, Paul says that he washed away our sins, giving us a new birth and new life through the Holy Spirit. He generously poured out the Spirit upon us through Jesus Christ, our Savior. This is in Titus chapter 3. What does this mean for us? Moms, it means that it's not all on you, okay? You don't have to carry the entire weight on your shoulders. For the rest of us, it means it's not all your mom, right? God has a huge part in this. It doesn't all rest on what your mom did or didn't do, okay? Our moms hand us over to a new birth in the Holy Spirit. In the verse above in Titus that we just talked about, the word translated as spirit is pneuma in the Greek. The title of this sermon is that the new ma is the pneuma. You like that play on words there? Raymond did that. And with that, please welcome our senior pastor, Raymond McDonald.
Well, I wonder how they knew that Raymond said new ma. That's the new ma. Well, obviously, when we talk about new ma, and we talked a lot about this last year when we went through the 40 days of the Holy Spirit with Jack Levinson, that is a gender-neutral word. But the main thing is that it's the wind. It's often literally the wind. Also can be breath, as we said, from Ruach. And we think of wind and breath, we think of that which gives life, that is the life of something. And believe me, when it comes to giving life and it comes to moving in the pneuma, we understand that when we look at birth, it's not where it stops. By the way, I'm not one of these people who can look at birth, so don't ask me to look at any of those films. But some of you have put an eyeball on that, and God bless you. But as for me, there's a process that goes on when that's greater than birth, that goes beyond birth. And when I think of birth, I think often of Genesis 1 and the birth of all creation. And we look at the creationist narrative that's right there in Genesis 1. It says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And we think of that word hovering, matter of fact, I think in the message it says brooding. It's like a mother bird just over the chaos, bringing light out of the darkness, bringing life out of something that just nothing exists. And obviously that's what birthing is in a sense. You're giving life to these things. But I think of the Spirit hovering, just brooding over the chaos. And understanding is here that the creation in that narrative, as we would see, it didn't stop right there. For all six of the days, God is continuing to create and perfect and to bring about the things that could bring about rest and pleasure in saying, yeah, I like what I see. And in our life, understanding the birthing process just never stops. That issue of brooding and moving over me is never stopped in my life. The thing is, though, I moved out when I was 18 years old or 17 years old and went to college. And so my mother's opportunity to brood over me and call chaos out of darkness, by the way, she tried hard to get call life out of chaos. She got a lot of chaos out of darkness. That was it. But she tried hard in my life to certainly bring life and set me straight and to get the chaos out of my life. It was a very important thing to her. That I would become somebody who lived life and loved life and was part of God's plan and walking in that, as it were. But when I look at this whole issue of the Spirit hovering, and again, as Angela shared with you, that Spirit, that Ruach breath that's there in Hebrew, pneuma in the Greek that would be there, we see the Spirit meeting us in that place. Our first impression of life outside the womb, the scientists would tell us, that the welcome reception we receive immediately after birth may color our perceptions of life as difficult or easy, hostile or safe, painful or comforting, frightening or reassuring, cold and lonely or warm and welcoming. The events surrounding birth have the potential to set the stage for patterns of subconscious thought processes and behaviors that persist a lifetime. The way that you're brought into this life really completely messes with you or blesses with you. Now, I say that because as I deal with my children, eight adopted, their way of coming into life wasn't a good one. And it has effect, and we're finding that out. That what you might say to a child who came into a warm embrace, a hovering experience, isn't the same as that one who maybe was born dead in a bathtub, as our son David was. And that these issues have effect. To maybe be born into a place of violence versus born into a place of love and comfort is there. Bringing life out of chaos is a lifetime process. And the spirit is there even when mom's not there. Mothers, you can't always help what was going on when you gave birth to a child. And often that's what we talked about, that experience of failing. It was a bad home. We tried everything we could. It was bad. And for my life, my mom was married. My father was not a good man. It was chaos every day. Every day was fighting. Every day was yelling. And thank God my mother left my father. And some of you may not like what I'm saying there, but for our life and her life, it was a very difficult thing to do back in the 60s. And if it would have ended there, that would have been my life. One of chaos, one of darkness, one of drunkenness, one of debauchery. I come from a long line of philandering alcoholics. And I thank God that the Holy Spirit has met me and hovered over my life and met me in this time and began to renew this process, hovering over me, healing the old wounds, healing the things that actually are genetically there that I can't see, and bringing them in to the place of the kingdom. See, the Holy Spirit continues to nurture us through the bonding process. If you think of that bonding thing of the Holy Spirit being there meeting us, being there all around us, meeting us in the chaotic form, we can think that the Holy Spirit, and true to be, because I know it's true to my life, is doing something just in presence, just in this place. One of the things that's important that I learned as I began to adopt children was this whole thing of bonding. This whole thing that when there's not a bonding process in a child's life, that things don't form right. That neurons don't form. And I learned that from Linda. She taught us that here in a class. But if you're not there to get the mother's gaze, if you're not there to feel the comfort of the mother, that things happen. We understand this here, that skin-on-skin contact places the infant in direct contact with the mother, ensures psychological and physiological warmth and bonding, and that the parent's stable body temperature helps the infant's temperature run more smoothly. Skin-to-skin contact improves the psychological stability for both the mother and the baby. And it's a very vulnerable period there. And for me, when we got Sam, who was born at one, he was 1 pound when he was born. Now, when we got him, he was a little more than that. But they said, this child never bonded with its mother. It's been passed around. It's not been held. You need skin-to-skin contact. And what we would do is just hold him. Even then, at almost a year old, to hold him against us. So he would begin to bond. He would begin to develop in this way. And we see that the neurons will actually begin to form that did not form at birth. They won't go the same path. It's different, but it's just as good. And that's when I say the Holy Spirit coming here. How much hope it is, moms, that if you did not or not were able, that the Holy Spirit's continuing this process. How wonderful it is for us who've got mother wounds to sit back and say, hey, maybe it's time to give your mother womb and say, come, Holy Spirit, and begin to develop me, because I can't hate mama forever. And that I can forgive, and that my life isn't over, and that I'm not in a place of saying that if I'd have just had a good, stable household, I could have been somebody. I could have been a contender. Today, as I look at that, I just think of us in that picture of the Holy Spirit brooding over the chaos of my life. And guys, there's still a lot of chaos in my life. They wake in the morning going, what is that I'm feeling? What are those things? Why is there anger? Why is there depression? Why are there sadness? And I say, come, Holy Spirit. Just come and meet me in this place. Brood over the chaos. brood over the darkness, call out light, separate the waters and the land. I love this verse in Psalm. The psalmist says this here, my heart is not proud. Lord, my eyes are not haughty. I do not concern myself with great matters or things too wonderful for me. But I have calmed and quieted myself. And I'm like a weaned child with its mother, like a weaned child. I'm content. Oh, come Holy Spirit. Draw us to your breast to be held there and to be nurtured, to be calmed and quieted, and to be bonded not only with you, but with your body and learning how to be with each other and how to be the body of Christ. I'd like to ask Carol Darden to come on up here, and she's going to share with us here. She's the only mom of this group here today, if I'm not mistaken. I tried it. It didn't work for me. So here you go.
Well, this morning when I left the house, I have to go by Starbucks. So, I mean, it's a thing. So I get in line there. There's a long line already. And I pull up, and the guy in front of me places his order and then pulls up just 2 feet. Seriously, there was plenty of room. There was a whole car length in front of him. And I'm thinking, move on. What, your Mercedes-Benz can't go any further or whatever? And so the whole time, finally, the other cars leave, and he pulls up and pulls through, and I'm like, nice. So I get up to the window, and the guy said, what's your lucky day? The guy in front of you says, Happy Mother's Day. He paid for my coffee and my breakfast, so I'm like, okay, I get it. Thank you, you know. But, right? And isn't that the way it always goes, you know? God will remind you. He will remind you there. I think he has a great sense of humor, too. So, this is what Jesus said. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may be with you forever. Comforter. I love that word. We all need it. In the Greek, that word is parakletos. Parakletos. Raymond says parakletos, but in the Greek, it's parakletos. Literally, it means to come alongside, for you to come beside somebody. But in the Bible, it's used as one who comforts, one who encourages or uplifts, one who refreshes, one who intercedes for us on our behalf, an advocate for us. You will see it translated throughout the New Testament as comforter, helper, advocate, or counselor. These are just some of the traits, some of the characteristics of the Holy Spirit. And these are just some of the traits and some of the characteristics of a mom. As a mom, we spend countless hours comforting our children, whether it be for a minor knee scrape or a major life crisis. Our kisses are magically healing. Our laps, many times, are the only seat in the house. And our hugs are better than any blankie that they have in their room. We are there to help them through every stage of their lives, learning to walk, potty training, getting along with others, doing homework, school projects, sports, dance, or music. We are their helpers throughout their schooling and even afterwards. We stand up for them when they can't, and probably when we shouldn't. We promote them. We build them up. We encourage them in their endeavors. We counsel them on decisions, on friends, on relationships, on life choices. And in short, we prepare them for life. We are a constant for them. We spend hours and hours praying for our children. We can be counted on for our unconditional love. Our presence in their lives is immeasurable. But let's be real. That list I just read is heavier than the Proverbs 31 list. You know, we are not perfect. We want to do all those things and more. We want to do them consistently, and we want to do them well, and we want to do them right, but we fail. We can look back on certain situations and wish, man, I wish I had handled that differently. We can wish that we could have been everything our children ever needed in every circumstance of their lives. But that's not realistic. That's not the way things are. We're human. I have 4 children. I had many, many clashes with the oldest. I had several with the second oldest, Jacob. I remember very few with Melissa, the third. I think she learned from watching the other two. And, well, the baby, James, we just all got along, you know. It's like you get better at this parenting thing over time. Or maybe it was that I realized that the things that I thought were so vitally important at that moment really doesn't matter in the long run. I remember a specific instance where the Holy Spirit intervened in my parenting. Jacob and I were having a really hard time getting along. It was during his high school years. And one reason we clashed so much is that he's very much like me. We both know we're always right. Just ask us. But he was in high school, and I was adamant that his GPA should be higher. He was capable, he wasn't applying himself, he wasn't motivated, and chaos reigned in our house every report card and every, the progress report. Oh, my goodness. And it was horrible. And I remember hearing almost audibly, "Do you want to lose your son over some numbers?" "Do you want to ruin your relationship because of his class ranking?" It doesn't matter after you're out of high school. It just doesn't matter. And that changed completely my approach to my children. I had a counselor. The Holy Spirit is there for us, moms. One of the most freeing things I ever heard while I was parenting teenagers was that no matter what you do or what you don't do, your kids are going to have to get prayer about you. It's true. That enabled me to go forward and just do the best I could with what I had at that time, however I could. Where I lacked, the Holy Spirit still fills. Where I messed up, the Holy Spirit still heals. The Holy Spirit is the new Ma. The Holy Spirit comforts and helps and advocates and counsels at every step of the way. The Parakletos is there for you who are in the midst of diapers and school projects. The Parakletos is there for you who are struggling with teenagers, testing everything you say while trying to find their own way. The Parakletos is there for you who are looking at that empty nest. The Parakletos is there for you who have adult children out on their own because you never quit being a mom. Yet nobody told me that. I thought it ended when they turned 18. No. It just changes. It just changes. The Parakletos is there for you who are doing this all by yourself. And the Parakletos is there for you who wanted to be a mom, but it didn't happen. And for you who are still waiting to be a mom, the Comforter is there. The Holy Spirit continues throughout our lives to comfort, help, encourage, and advocate for us. I got the long fill-in. And you know what? The Holy Spirit is there for all who did not have the perfect mother. Her mistakes, her lack, her inconsistency, maybe even her absence in your life, can be healed by the perfect, unconditional love freely given by the Holy Spirit. Our moms have a huge impact on us, but they are not the final say in who we are. We all have pieces of our mom's influence in the fabric of who we are, but we must remember that we were each uniquely created, and we each have a divine purpose. And we have the best comforter available to us always. Whether we had the greatest mom or a not so great mom, we have the Holy Spirit interceding for us. In Romans, Paul says, in the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. I remember once being on the parking ride bus heading into downtown Houston for work, and I was praying for my children's future spouses. Now, none of them were married, but they were in high school. Most of them were in high school. But apparently, I was being a little bit too specific by recommending some nice young Christian boys I knew about who I thought would be great spouses for my nice young Christian daughters. And again, I hear this. Do you want to pick their spouses, or are you going to let me? Ouch. Again, he is our counselor. If we will just listen, we have the best counselor. So this morning, I just say, just know this, that in the midst of all the prayers, we pray for our children, for ourselves as moms, or for our moms. Be encouraged that we are never alone in that endeavor. Nicole?
So far today, we've talked a lot about the impacts that mothers have in nurturing and in comforting. As children grow from that nurturing and from that comfort, they learn a whole lot about the world from their mothers. Research has shown that within a matter of minutes of being born, newborn babies not only learn their mother's faces, but prefer the mother's faces to other faces. I mean, that's important. Even, 9 minutes old, I think is what I read. Research also indicates that it doesn't end there. That babies watch their mothers and learn a good deal about how to interact with the world based on their mother's facial expressions and responses. Mothers teach their children about emotions, how they look, how they sound, how to respond to other people's emotions. You don't think about it, but when a mom is cooing over her baby, they're teaching them that happy faces go with happy voices and happy feelings. Mothers continue to teach and train them how to interact with the world. Over the weekend, I stumbled across an article of a list of things that mothers teach their children. And, you know, I thought a lot of it rang true for me, so I thought I'd read it and see, you know, how many of these things ring true for you, too. My mother taught me logic. If you fall off that swing and break your neck, you can't go to the store with me. If everyone else jumped on a cliff, would you do it too? Okay, mother taught me logic. My mother taught me humor. When that lawnmower cuts off your toes, don't come running to me. Yep, joking about cutting off some toes. Good humor. My mother taught me genetics. You are just like your father. I heard that one a lot. I heard that one a lot. My mother taught me anticipation. Just wait until your father gets home. Yep, a little bit of that. My mother taught me about receiving. You are going to get it when you get home. I'm hearing some laughter. I'm guessing this is ringing true for a lot of you guys, too. My mother taught me about religion. You better pray that stain comes out of that carpet. Thank you, Becky. My mother taught me about stamina. You will sit there until all that spinach is finished. Yep. She taught me about the circle of life. I brought you into this world, and I can take you right back out. We know that one. And an all-time favorite thing that mothers have taught us is justice. One day you will have kids, and I hope they turn out just like you. Then you'll see what it's like. That last one is obviously a joke because I was a delightful child. but you get my point. Mothers teach us a lot about the world, and it sticks with us. Mothers are our first teachers, and they teach us a lot of things, from how to read to how to clean our room to how to really clean your room and not throw everything in the closet. And especially if you have siblings, your mother may have taught you what sharing looks like, because siblings don't actually teach you how to share very well. Or maybe your mother taught you how to say sorry, and not just sorry, but sorry like you mean it. Even as adults, how many of us can still hear our mother's voice in our heads? I see some hand raised there, yeah. And if we can't hear our mother's voice in our heads, how many of us pick up the phone and want to call or still call our moms just to get their feedback on an important decision? For many of us, our mothers have acted as our guides. Now, if I was a mother sitting in here right now, that sounds like a lot of pressure. And I think we've kind of talked about that today. All eyes on you all the time. And you can't possibly be on all the time. You're bound to make mistakes. And the thought of those mistakes having lifelong repercussions, it's daunting. But what about those of us who didn't have great guides or no motherly guides at all? As we've talked about today, there is good news for those who follow the Lord. Paul writes to a young church in Galatians about how to live. In chapter 5, verses 16 and 17, he says, "So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are the opposite of the sinful nature desires. These two forces are constantly fighting each other, so you are not free to carry out your good intentions. And he goes on with that idea and finishes in verses 24 and 25. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to his cross and crucified them there. Since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leadings in every part of our lives. It's funny how it all comes back, you know? Like a mother teaching her child how to fight our natural inclinations to serve ourselves first in order to get along with others, the Holy Spirit teaches us how to fight our sin nature to live by the Spirit. The Holy Spirit continues to teach and guide us. I got the short one. My mother taught me through years of PTA meetings and classroom holiday parties and special school lunch visits and school plays that showing up is one of the easiest, I'll say easiest, ways to show someone that they matter. But what the Holy Spirit had to teach me is I can't show up to everything. I can't. Today, my mother is a caretaker, and she is teaching me what it looks like to relentlessly care for someone who may not remember your birthday or your name or the fact that they are your daughter. And the Holy Spirit is teaching me that even if I do everything right and I care and I care, I may not have control and it may not end well. Our moms teach us a lot, but the Holy Spirit fills in the cracks. In Romans, Paul says, "For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God." And I like that verse because there's something I'm noticing as I'm getting older. I got bangs a few weeks ago, and it was the craziest thing. Suddenly, I resembled my mom. My whole life, I've been told, you look just like your dad. And I got bangs, and all of a sudden, I was my mom. And I started looking at things in my life, and I realized that sometimes I'm sounding a little bit like her, too. And I'm sure some of you guys have done that. You say something, and you go, I sounded just like my mother. Because the thing is, I'm hers. I look like her. And as we grow in our faith by the Spirit, we look more like the children of God, following in his likeness. And so this morning, I want to encourage you guys that the Holy Spirit is going to fill in those cracks, that the new Ma is the new Ma, and that he's got it. At this time, I want to go ahead and welcome back up Raymond McDonald.
Thank you, Nikki. So today, as you've heard about the new Ma, or as Carol called parakeet toes, I don't know what that has to do with this, but paracletos or something. So anyhow, the thing is, I'm going to ask you to stand with me now, if you will. As we read in Titus at the beginning, and Angela read it to you, that the Holy Spirit has been poured out on you through your Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, I believe the Holy Spirit's moving and powerful here this morning in all lives. If that wasn't true, you wouldn't be breathing. But we're talking about this relational Jim's here today. I love Jim. Loves manifest presence, and that means here on you, relating with you, and that part of the Holy Spirit being poured out on us through our Savior Jesus Christ. I come this morning and say, if you don't know Jesus, if you've not given that life, the cruciform life of giving it to Christ, and allow him to come and to move in your life and bring the Holy Spirit to just pour out on you and begin to have, make their home in you, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We're missing so much in the completion of this birthing process. Our birth has been truncated. We've seen the completeness, the finality that comes in Jesus Christ, the summing of all things for creation, the Creator, all things created for and by Him. And so today, I invite you, not just moms, but all of us, to make that commitment to Jesus Christ's kingdom. Yes, a prayer, but even more, His kingdom for my life, the fullness of my life. And for moms, I specifically speak to you today in these things because it is your day that we're talking about. As we understand that this new birth is through the Holy Spirit, that those of us who've come and brought our children, maybe you say, my child never, ever has spoken to Jesus. I pray for him to know Jesus. I write it on the church card every day. He doesn't know Jesus. What I say to you, the Holy Spirit is in hot pursuit. That for me, I was skipping school, and he's speaking to me while over the sounds of Jethro Tull being played on the 8-track. And if the Holy Spirit can speak louder than Jethro Tull, thick as a brick, he can speak loud. You understand the Holy Spirit's moving, and that you also can know that your children are not just, that you're not the only last answer they have. That representing them, bringing them as Hannah would bring Samuel and drop Samuel off with the priest, that you're taking your children and handing them off to the high priest, to the king, and saying, come, Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit continues to nurture. Some of you today were really touched because your life in those times was horrific, and you were fighting for your life. And you wish you could have those days back. You say, I wish I'd have known those things. I wish I would have known these things. I just say, I'm asking the Holy Spirit to come and just praying even that next thing of comfort to you. And for those of you who have felt that you've not been an advocate, you've not comforted or been comforted, or whatever those things are that we're understanding again today, that that advocate, the Holy Spirit, is fighting for you, taking up for you. Just as my mom would run down to the school almost weekly and fight for me to have long hair, the Holy Spirit's fighting for you and fighting for your place in the life of this kingdom and fighting for your children. Some of you have turned your children over to adoption and you are being hurt today. And I want to say to you, no, thank you. May God come and move on you today to know that you are still part of that life as you pray and you do those things. Having adopted 8 children, I'm so thankful for the mother of my children, the mothers of the children who said yes. And that the Holy Spirit, comforting, encouraging, is here to teach and continue to guide our children even after they've left and we've known they're just crazy as road lizards and they've went off and it's over. They just moved off to California. Or Park City, Utah, that we know that the Holy Spirit continues to work. And I say that to comfort you. As I've come this morning and I've asked the Holy Spirit to even be here, you moms who are here, who've struggled in these things of fear for your children, are just this horrible sense that you have been, you were not a good mom, or that you were a good mom and it didn't play out, whatever it may be. I'm asking you to come down today for your children and for you, because there's nothing that is more tormentuous than the enemy coming and telling you you weren't a good mom, or that you were a good mom and your children are just gone. It torments the life of the kingdom. And I invite you to come down here today. Don't be ashamed. Don't be shy. I want to pray for you. I want a time of really praying for you. And so I invite you even now to come down here in the front and stand over here on to my left. It's there. I ask you to come down. No more shame, no more guilt, no more sense of fear for our children, that we can actually turn them over to the Lord and believe that. And then I also want to make more than a general call, the call of the kingdom. to come here today, that if you have never met this Jesus, you want to talk about that, you come down here. And that the wonderful thing about our kingdom and his kingdom is he's continuing to put together Humpty Dumpty, breaking who's been falling off the wall, who's broken. And that we want to pray with you for your broken bodies, broken hearts, broken lives. So I invite you to come even now. And I'm going to release, I'm going to bless you, but I want to make sure you come down here. And as you come, I'm going to ask the ministry team to be functionally present. They're going to come down as you come down and meet you in this place. So come on, Holy Spirit, even now. Come on, there's more of you. Don't be shy for crying out loud. Come, Holy Spirit, just move here. Don't be shy, please. This is so that you can walk in the function of the kingdom in the most powerful way, that these things do not weigh on you. Fear, shame, all those things, they're not part of the original kingdom. Those are the things that came in the fall. Those are the things that enemy is stirring up. Forgiveness is to be had, and forgiveness is here to be given. It's the thing of the kingdom. And over here also, again, it's not just moms today. We're praying for anyone who today is broken, your bodies, whatever it may be, and come with you. And I'm going to ask the ministry team to come forward, if you will, now. If you'll come on around. If you'll come on around. If you're not already here, come on down. Yes. Let's come. We can't have too many prayer people. We can't have too much prayer. That's great. I'm going to bless you, and as I bless you, you're going to be able to come down after that too. But I ask the Holy Spirit to come right now in this place. Some of you really didn't want to come down, or you've come down before, and I just ask the Holy Spirit to begin healing and moving on you. So come down here now. Just begin to break off the things that keep us from the joy and peace of the kingdom. And for those of you whose mothers are gone, your wives are gone, the mother of your children, I just ask the Lord to come and bring you comfort. Comfort. Some of you have just received that today as he comes and moves on you to meet your grieving heart. Again, we'll be praying with you too and opening that. Just come, Holy Spirit. Now, I bless you in the name of the Father who has loved you since the beginning of creation. And has pursued you. And he has sent his son, Jesus Christ, whom name I bless you in the name of Jesus Christ, that your sins be pardoned and forgiven as he's come and given his life for you. That you would know his friendship, to be blessed to know his work for you. And to be blessed today in the name of the Holy Spirit, who's come to abide and comfort, encourage, advocate, and to bless. Thank you so much for coming today. And we're going to be doing the cake thing in the back, so meet us back there too. God bless you so much.